from New York City. We are broadcasting not far from the World Trade Center towers. Both have gone down in the last hours in a massive attack that seems to extend from New York to Washington, D.C., where all federal buildings have been evacuated. Stay with us. You are listening to Democracy Now! In Exile. The latest news we have is that there have been widespread attacks that include at least three commercial jet crashes. We now believe perhaps four. Three commercial jet crashes into significant buildings. In the first attack, a plane hit the North Tower of the World Trade Center in Manhattan shortly before 9 o'clock, followed by another plane into the second tower about 20 minutes later. Both towers later collapsed. About an hour later, a plane crashed into the Pentagon, part of which later collapsed. American Airlines told CNN that it lost two planes in tragic accidents. Flight 11 from Boston with 81 passengers and 11 crew aboard, and Flight 77 from Washington Dulles Airport with 58 passengers and 6 crew aboard. Both planes were en route to Los Angeles. United Airlines Flight 93 airliner headed from Newark, New Jersey to San Francisco crashed near Somerset, Pennsylvania. Police said initial reports indicated no survivors. It was not known if this was connected to the attacks. United also said it was deeply concerned about Flight 175 from Boston to Los Angeles. The Pentagon, the White House, the State Department, the Justice Department, the Capitol, the CIA, and all other government buildings in Washington have been evacuated. President Bush canceled an appearance in Florida to return to Washington, calling the crashes, quote, apparent terrorist attacks and, quote, a national tragedy. In the first ever national ground stop of aircraft, all flights nationwide have been stopped at their departure airports. All international flights were diverted to Canada. In New York, more than 10,000 rescue personnel have rushed to the scene. The entire downtown area of Manhattan, the mayor has recommended people evacuate, though we are in that area, and certainly so are hundreds of thousands of other people. Israel has evacuated all its missions around the world. In Chicago, the Sears Tower was evacuated. The United Nations in New York has been evacuated. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in Atlanta was evacuated. CDC was preparing bioterrorism teams in case they become necessary. The New York Port Authority says it has closed all bridges and tunnels into the city. Today is primary day in New York. These elections have been canceled. You're listening to Democracy Now! As we go first to Robert Knight, who is on the line with us. He is right by the United Nations. Robert, can you talk about what you saw this morning?
Yes, indeed. I am reporting from an elevated location on the East River within line of sight to the United Nations as well as the World Trade Center and the Empire State Building. This morning at approximately 15 or 10 minutes before 9 o'clock, I was disturbed looking out of my window with the sound and the quick passage of what appeared to be a commercial plane. It was unusual because the general aviation rule in New York is that north and southbound traffic must travel over the Hudson River. This plane was too close to the center of Manhattan. As it traveled south, it caught my attention, and minutes later, a plane would indeed crash into the North Tower of the World Trade Center. I believe that is the plane that I saw. What is remarkable about what we now know to have been two crashes into the World Trade Center is the anomalous behavior in Manhattan now. The Empire State Building has been evacuated. The United Nations Secretariat and General Assembly buildings have been evacuated. As I look down at this very moment on the East River as the tide rises, there is an unusual pattern of fine-grained debris, which I believe has washed up from lower Manhattan by this amount of time since the initial crashes. There have been closures of tunnels and bridges coming into New York, but as I look through the telescope, I can see torrents of pedestrian traffic moving eastbound across the 59th Street Bridge outside to move out of Manhattan. The bridge is closed to automobile traffic. Right now, as I look down on the FDR Highway, that is a an expressway that runs on the east side of Manhattan, north and southbound, it has been closed to traffic for some hours, with the exception of police, fire, ambulance, and other emergency vehicles. It has been almost like a ghost highway, except for the ferrying and shuttling of ambulances with what few people they can bring back from what has to be a tremendously high toll of the explosions at the World Trade Center. As I look north at the United Nations at this very moment, it is being circled and ringed by a number of police boats, presumably under the assumption that the United Nations might well have also been a target. One other significant factor, Amy, I think that should be noted tactically or logistically. If indeed there is a central coordination of the crashing of these commercial airliners, I think it's significant that those that are missing are those that were outbound from the East Coast, whether from Boston or New York, for destinations on the West Coast. That means that these planes would have had the maximum amount of jet fuel in them, and if that was a factor, it would have been a logical one, so that when, for instance, the second plane crashed into the Southern Tower, there was a tremendous fireball. So it remains to be investigated, although it seems plausible that choosing a long-distance flight would provide more fuel for more deadly explosive effects.
In just a minute, we're going to go to Larry Bensky at KPFA in Berkeley, but I wanted to bring Reem Kathuda into this discussion, who is a producer at WBIX.org, where you can also hear this broadcast. Reem, you saw one of the towers of the World Trade Center collapse. We're talking about two 110-story towers of the World Trade Center. 50,000 people work there. 150,000 people are there every day. The number of casualties at this point are untold, but they must be extremely high and devastating. Reem, what did you see and hear?
So is I was up on the roof with a clear view of both towers, and there were flames coming out of the towers, 20 feet high flames, and lots of smoke, mostly dark, and then the smoke started to get lighter, and then suddenly the second tower, the more south of the first one, kind of like exploded and then collapsed in itself with debris falling everywhere. It was definitely a full building collapse from where we were looking at. That's how it looked, and it was crumbling. And the second tower was oscillating at that point, probably from the wind of the first one, and we could see it clearly. It was a very big angle, visible angle. It was swinging, and that's the tower with the antenna. I also saw the huge amount of smoke and steam floating and almost covering the downtown area. And here with us on the phone, I have Kasia, my neighbor, who actually saw the second tower collapse.
We're also joined by Larry Bensky at KPFA. Larry, can you hear us?
Yes, I can, Amy.
Yes, I can, Amy. And
thank you very much for all your good work this morning.
We've been cutting in and out of your expanded Democracy Now! Coverage, and joining me.
We just lost you. It sounds like
we can email.
Well, let me
go ahead, Larry.
Let me. Can you hear me now, Amy?
Yes, we can. Perfectly.
We're putting together an impromptu network here.
No, you must be fading in and out.
Okay.
I'd like to ask if perhaps you could come up on another ISDN, and that might be easier for us. And
we'll try to get that together.
The producers make a link with you there. You are intermittent on this broadcast. Reem, why don't you continue as we wait to reconnect with Larry?
So people are listening to us on the net all over. I have emails and people writing on the message board from Ireland, Atlanta, L.A., and New York. and other places, people were discussing what they're hearing and reacting to some of the comments that are starting to speculate to fill time. There is a very interesting comment that shocked some of the writers, but before I go into that, people can email wbaiinexile@yahoo.org. This is with two eyes, to tell us where you're listening from and how this affects you. And with me on the phone is Kasia, my neighbor, who saw the other building collapse. Here is her report.
We kind of hoped that the second tower would not collapse because the fire was in the upper part of it. But it happened the same thing as with the first tower. It just suddenly collapsed straight down. And the only good thing was that it went straight down and not, you know, on the other buildings that are there. So we were all shocked.
People were crying on the roofs. People were hugging each other. People were trembling head to toes. It was a horrifying sight. And even for me, who's seen a lot of buildings collapse in Lebanon by vacuum bombs and others, it was just horrific to see it. We looked around town. We looked at Midtown that was very visible from where we're at. And people were saying, like, will there be another thing? Will there be another thing? Slowly, the smoke that stood in place of the two towers moved a little bit lower within the lower area. And there were a lot of ambulances, a lot of fire trucks going. And when I went down to the street, I saw a lot of people who went to school to get their children. People talked about people burned head to toes. And the emergency rooms and the different hospitals need blood. That's what the word was on the streets. People were telling each other, have you given blood? Are you going to go give blood? Because people need blood in the hospitals. The comment that was on the messaging board, among others, among a lot of messages from all over the country to say that people are listening, reads, people are dying. People always die when government act without something. And then because we were all likely to be affected by this and the political pragmatic, because we cannot live in a country that exports and supports war, extorts and lies, was founded on the suffering of others and not expect to be touched. It will not eliminate the pain of those who lose loved ones, but it will make it easier for us to understand that other citizens of the world live with regularly. And this is what some of our listeners are saying. On the roof, a lot of, I would have to say, white middle-class people were reacting immediately from the onset when the first airplane hit the tower, that this is war and we should act, we should go and see who did it and teach them lessons. So this is what I saw and heard in the Lower East Side of Manhattan.
Amy?
Robert Knight.
If I may just add a...
We're going to cut away from the New York coverage and come back to Amy Goodman and Robert Knight and all the good folks in exile from WBAI there, and go to Sacramento right now and our KPFA correspondent, Kata Mester. Earlier we were talking to you, Kata, and you were saying the governor was going to have some statement about California. I understand most, if not all, state buildings are now closed.
They are indeed. And in fact, the governor's press secretary, Steve Mavigliar, is about to make a statement. I'm going to hold my cell phone up by the podium where he's going to speak.
We're hoping to get that sound from the governor's press secretary, if Kata Mester can get close enough with her cell phone. In Sacramento. Doesn't sound like he started yet. While we're waiting... Oh, here we go. I think we go.
Okay. Governor Davis issued the following memo to agency secretaries and department directors about 5 minutes ago. I'll read the text for you. It's three sentences long. Due to security concerns raised in today's attacks in the nation's capital and in New York City, I order that all state office buildings and facilities be closed until further notice. This does not affect buildings and facilities that provide essential or critical functions. Department directors will make the determination as to which facilities meet this definition, and signed by the governor. The governor is heading shortly to the CHP Command Center, 3500 Reed Avenue in West Sacramento. Right now, on the telephone, there's a briefing occurring by the State Strategic Terrorism Task Force that consists of a wide variety of law enforcement officials, including Department of Defense, FEMA, OES, CHP, local law enforcement. The governor will be briefed after this committee finishes its convening, and that'll be shortly. The governor also will issue a more formal statement, probably within the next 35 minutes or so, and we'll have that for you. The state capitol, as far as I understand, has been closed. All the governor's staff will be reporting to the CHP command center, and we'll operate from there. You're encouraged to be there. I think there will be facilities for you, and we'll be issuing all our alerts and media information through that center. Phone number?
That was Steve Malviglio, the spokesperson for Governor Gray Davis live in Sacramento, confirming that all state office buildings have been closed. You've also heard that a number of downtown San Francisco buildings have been closed. Chris Bruni, what's going on?
Yes, well, Larry, as I mentioned earlier, San Francisco remains on a heightened state of alert today. San Francisco City Hall is closed. Also, the San Francisco Unified School District has closed schools in the city. School officials have asked parents to pick up their children from school if they can, but if not, supervision will be available for children who remain at school today. At San Francisco City College, all day and evening classes have been canceled. Also, the federal building on Golden Gate Avenue has been closed this morning. And, of course, we just heard from the governor's office that state buildings will be closed. So if you are heading to a state building in San Francisco, that will certainly be closed today. We got word a few minutes ago that the Exploratorium in the city is closed. And there are a lot of decisions being made as to whether to close other buildings and or businesses in the city. If you have any doubt, you may want to give a call before you head on your way out there. A statement from Mayor Willie Brown is expected sometime today. Bridges are open around the bay, by the way. The sidewalks, though, to the Golden Gate Bridge are expected to be closed. They were due to be closed about 18 minutes ago. Golden Gate authorities say they have stepped up patrols across the span, but there are no plans to close it. The Bay Bridge is open, as are other bridges around the bay, and no freeways are closed as well. In the East Bay, things seem to be going fairly normally. Officials in Oakland have activated the emergency system there as a precautionary move. However, a spokesperson emphasizes that there are no significant crises, though they are asking residents not to call 911 unless it is an emergency. City Hall in Oakland is open. And city workers will be going to work today. That's it so far.
Thank you, Chris Bruni. To resume what we know about which planes crashed, and as far as we know where, one of them was headed for San Francisco. That would have been United Airlines Flight 93, which is a Boeing 757 from Newark to San Francisco. That crashed about 80 miles southeast of Pittsburgh with 45 people aboard. It's not clear if that crash had anything to do with the other crashes because it crashed near Pittsburgh, but we'll perhaps find more details about that later on. We do not yet know whether are there any survivors, by the way, from that flight, United Airlines flight from Newark to San Francisco. The other planes that crashed, the two that crashed into the World Trade Center, were American Airlines Flight 11, which was bound from Boston to Los Angeles, had 92 people aboard, and American Airlines Flight 77, which was carrying 64 people from Washington Dulles to Los Angeles. Another flight is now missing, and it apparently could possibly be the flight that crashed near Camp David in Maryland. There's been a high state of security talking about that, because of that is, of course, the presidential retreat. It is also the place where, in 1978, on this very date, the Camp David Accords were signed. Flight 175, United Flight 767, bound from Boston to Los Angeles, with 65 people on board. That may have been that plane, or that may have been the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. We're still waiting confirmation. So we know of at least five planes that were apparently hijacked and did, in fact, crash. The emergency services in New York City, Lower Manhattan, as you've been hearing off and on all morning from Amy Goodman and the staff of Democracy Now!, who are in a studio in Chinatown about a mile and a half from there, have been overwhelmed by the deaths and injuries from the World Trade Center bombs in the airplanes, not the bombs, but the World Trade Center crashes, which, as Robert Knight pointed out, took place in airplanes. that would have been full of jet fuel, having just taken off from the East Coast for flights to the West Coast. As the buildings collapsed, of course, many emergency services people were in grave danger themselves, and all New York City hospitals and area hospitals are reported to be filled with casualties. We now hear that the United States-Mexican border at San Diego has been closed by U.S. Customs, as some stage of alert would seem to be in effect or being put in effect all around the United States, although details are sketchy. As I said earlier, there long have been contingency plans for catastrophes of various kinds, be they natural or human-caused. And the militarization of various services has been something that has been planned for some time now, ever since World War II, as far as we know, in fact. And as those stages continue, we'll monitor what exactly they are. So far here in California, aside from the emergency alert called in Orange County, and we have no idea if that's locally called or what, we have no idea whether or not this will have any major effects. We'll go back now to Amy Goodman and the staff of Democracy Now! In New York.
The hospitals are filling up in the whole area of Manhattan. People as far away as 3 miles into Brooklyn report paper kind of confetti that is falling in their neighborhoods. Also, again, the flights that we've been talking about, all flights have been canceled in the United States. International flights coming into New York and Washington, D.C. have been diverted to Canada. Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, and JFK reports closed and evacuated as family and friends of passengers on the three flights that were bound for Los Angeles that are confirmed down are arriving at those airports. We're talking about a monumental tragedy right now with the World Trade Center down, World Trade Center towers down. It does appear that planes attacked the towers, crashed into them. At the same time, what we see in Washington, D.C. is a plane crashing into the Pentagon. State Department evacuated. There were reports earlier of fires on the Mall, but the State Department, the White House, the Treasury, Pentagon, all being evacuated, all federal buildings. We are just blocks away from the federal court buildings of Manhattan, the federal and state court buildings, as well as from City Hall, where Mayor Giuliani is right now. There have been New York National Guard called in to aid the police. As the emergency services, to say the least, are overwhelmed. 10,000 emergency personnel scrambling towards lower Manhattan hospitals, overwhelmed by casualties. I don't know if you can hear in this broadcast, but certainly we can hear the sirens of the emergency vehicles that are passing by where we are in Chinatown, extremely densely populated area, which is just outside of the periphery of the World Trade Center buildings. Though here the sky is clear, we do not see smoke, but certainly the images on television that are being fed to us, all of that tip of Manhattan, the lower Manhattan, is covered with smoke. Mayor Giuliani saying there is a tremendous number of lives lost so far in the World Trade Center attacks. Robert Knight is joining us from the United Nations area. That building has been evacuated. He was able to see this morning a plane he believed is the one that first went into the World Trade Center. Robert, what are your comments right now? Let's bring up the telephones right now, and we will speak to our guests.
Amy?
Yes, Robert.
In reference to Mayor Giuliani, for our national audience, not everyone might recall that sometime after the ground-level bombing of one of the World Trade Center buildings, that Mayor Giuliani subsequently established a so-called crisis and terrorism center, an emergency so-called bunker, which was oddly enough located on the 22nd floor of the World Trade Center. Of course, we now know that he was not in that center, fortunately, this morning, and was operating out of a firehouse in Greenwich Village. The mayor did indicate that he has been in touch with the governor, George Pataki, of New York State, and that National Guard has been alerted and is en route to help relieve and assist the some 10,000 or more emergency service personnel whose work will be endless over the coming days. So we expect the arrival of state-level authorities to assist in the emergency search and rescue operations for the untold number of casualties that will have eventually been discovered.
Robert Knight reporting to us from the United Nations area. And just for people who are outside of New York to get a picture of the island, he is about halfway up on the east side. He is on the East River, the United Nations up around 44th Street and 1st Avenue, World Trade Center at the tip of Manhattan. We are in the middle, just above the tip of Manhattan, broadcasting from Chinatown from Engine Company 31, where Downtown Community Television and Manhattan Neighborhood Network have graciously given us their studios in this monumental tragedy that is taking place, unfolding as we speak. This is a national emergency for the first time ever. All flights have been canceled in the United States with the what appears to be an attack on the World Trade Center towers. Both have collapsed. The images this morning, and we're going to bring Robert back up as he was watching, as well as Reem Karhuda, the images on television of people hanging on to the World Trade Center towers, those top floors, jumping before those towers collapsed. But after the first plane went into one of the towers, it was about 8:45. Then 20 minutes later, the second what appears to be attack on the towers, and then by 10:30, both towers had collapsed. Robert.
Yes, as I watch the ongoing activity on the eastern side of Manhattan, of course, the smoky tableau of the empty space in the horizon where the World Trade Towers used to be continues apace. There is debris that I believe came from that area, even now visible on the surface of the East River. What I've been monitoring traffic and emergency-wise has been a shutting down to transportation of this artery, as well as, of course, bridges and tunnels coming into New York City. There is pedestrian traffic walking across bridges, the Brooklyn Bridge, walking across the 59th Street Bridge. Many people on foot evacuating Manhattan at this point in time. I noticed that many city buses have been drafted into service and are, carrying police or health workers or others downtown every now and then. There is a constant stream of ambulances coming into the Bellevue Medical Facility area. There are a number of hospitals in what could be called, at least in part, a medical district on the middle eastern side of the island of Manhattan. But one cannot help but think that this trickle of ambulance traffic is far too little to have adequately served the thousands of people who might have been at risk with the unprecedented level of destruction in the southern tip of Manhattan.
Another thing to report on. Can you hear me, Amy?
We can hear you fine. Reem Karhuda, producer at WBIX.org. You're speaking to us from Brooklyn? From Lower East Side.
Speaking from the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where that's where I could see the towers before, and now that's when I can see just the sky with a little smoke, as if the towers never existed. But one other thing to report on that is not visible but rather auditive is a lot of phone calls that I have been getting from other fellow Arabs across the country warning me about what can happen. People are calling each other because they're already feeling the hatred, the angry words, the crazed words in the workplace, in the streets, in the grocery stores. And they all feel that people might react to some of these chit-chat airhead people on the news that are already trying to make decisions as to who is to blame. And the Arab community is horrified walking in this United States.
We are getting reports as we listen to sirens and ambulances heading down to the World Trade Center of rail, bus, subway service out of lower Manhattan, that they are certainly trying to get people not to go into that area, only emergency vehicles. Again, the New York National Guard activated to work with the New York City Police. We've been told the U.S.-Mexico border has been sealed, as well as the U.S.-Canadian border, and NATO headquarters in Brussels is evacuating non-essential personnel.
People went to the schools and got their children. A little while ago, you could see hordes of children with their parents or some guardian of some sort walking in the Lower East Side.
I'm looking out now. I'm beginning to see heavy equipment and machinery southbound towards the impact area. I'm seeing flatbed trucks. I'm seeing trucks with cranes, as if to intimate that a debris digging and removal operation may be underway or about to be started. In the background, of course, you can hear the sirens accompanying what now appears to be not only the medical traffic, the police traffic, but heavy equipment for whatever rescue is possible at this time.
We have information 3,000 police are outside the World Trade Center being urged. People are being urged to simply walk out of the area, not use vehicles for safety. There are thousands of ambulances that are in the area. We can certainly hear the sirens from here. We're going to see now if we can go to KPFA in Berkeley, being joined by Larry Bensky. Larry, are you there?
I'm here, Amy. Can you hear me this time?
Perfectly.
All right. Dennis Bernstein is here with me as well.
Hi, Dennis.
Hey, Amy. How are you doing?
Good.
Amy, thank you very much for your reporting, which we've been into and out of all morning for the last 3 hours plus here on KPFA. We will be updating our California audience, Northern and Central California audience, about developments here in California, which so far have been limited to closing down of many buildings. Indeed, all of downtown San Francisco is pretty much closed down. As far as the businesses are concerned in San Francisco schools, et cetera, the governor has declared a state of alert and emergency, and all state buildings are closed down, and people are being asked to stay off the freeways. And as I think you just mentioned, the Mexican border has been closed, the Mexican-United States border, as well as the Canadian border. One of the airlines, as you and I have been saying all morning, that apparently has crashed, was headed for San Francisco. And we don't yet have any reports of possible survivors there. That is the one that went down near Pittsburgh in what may or may not have had anything to do with this. The fourth airliner, the one that United Airlines has said has crashed, was going from Boston to Los Angeles. And United is not saying where that one crashed, but it's quite possible that that was the one that either went down at Camp David or at the Pentagon. One thing that's been confusing, Amy, and we've warned our listeners here, and I know you have as well, that in these breaking developments, we frequently try to find out what's going on, and we say things that we think are authoritative that later on turn out not to be true, such as the car bomb outside the State Department this morning, which apparently did not happen, and a bomb on Capitol Hill, which may or may not have happened, and fires on the Mall in Washington. What's the latest information you have on those?
Well, in all those cases, Larry, as you said, they're just sketchy reports that we get on CNN, and we often will see them later retracted. But it seems that the ones that are for sure are the plane that went into the Pentagon, as well as, of course, the World Trade Center's towers both collapsing. The fire, yes, at the Pentagon, the fires and the total collapse of the World Trade Center. As for that other information, we don't have more information.
Another thing, Amy, this is Dennis Bernstein with Larry Bensky here in San Francisco Bay Area. Another thing we want to watch in terms of false reporting is those reports that are coming out of the Middle East, in terms of particularly out of Israel, suggesting that this was the work of Palestinians or of Arab terrorists. Now, we're going to be watching this very closely, particularly in the context of the backlash against Arab Americans in this country. It has already been horrific over the last year, as you know, with new sort of anti-terrorist laws. So we are trying to reach people like Ali Abu Nima of the American Arab Anti-Action Network and the Hussein Ibish of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, because we know even as we speak, the anti-terrorist teams are going out trying to assign blame. Investigations have already begun. There's already been some false reports. We want to make sure that we stay on top of that as well.
And this news, Mayor Giuliani saying, in New York City, the hospitals need help. The governor has mobilized the state to make all city hospitals available. Many people are out of the city, upstate National Guard are relieving city teams this afternoon. Desperate calls for fire and hospital workers. A lot of people who are out, they're calling for all emergency workers to come back into the city to deal with this monumental disaster. And there is a tremendous need for blood right now.
Let me just update. We're going to go in a moment to talk about a little more about what Dennis was talking about, but let me just update this. President Bush has flown not to Washington, D.C., but to Barksdale Air Force Base in Louisiana, where he is shortly going to give a statement. And when that is coming, we will bring it to you live here on KPFA and on this network put together with Democracy Now! Go ahead, Dennis.
And this is Dennis here again. We have Hussein Ibish on the line. The American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee's National Media Coordinator Spokesperson. Hussein Ibish, welcome to this special Pacifica broadcast.
Hi, Dennis.
All right, Hussein, we want to, first of all, get your response to the situation. You're there in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
What does it feel like on the ground? And then we want to talk to you about the potential backlash in terms of Arab Americans.
Well, the city is very tense, and I think that there is the whole country, all of us, I believe, as individuals, and I think the entire society is in a state of utter shock. We have never seen anything like this. At least not for, half a century. And it's really very, very confusing because it's almost impossible to imagine who would not only want to do this, but who would be capable of doing it. And I don't think there are any obvious candidates. And so people are really stunned. They're absolutely, appalled. And you know, I think that Washington, D.C., New York, and all the major cities in this country are in a combined state of extreme anguish and tremendous tension.
Hussein, let me just jump in here. Before we talk about the potential backlash, you are on the ground in Washington, D.C. We have been reporting about attacks on the State Department, on the Pentagon.
Apparently, I haven't heard of any confirmed attack on the State Department, certainly on the Pentagon.
All right, and what's it like on the ground? Is ground transportation working?
Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah, well, it's working. The city is not shut down, but many of the institutions, federal government buildings have been evacuated. Many schools have closed. Obviously, the airports were trying to get the planes on the ground as soon as possible in order to shut down air traffic. The roads are functioning, but they're very, very difficult. A lot of roads are closed, especially in and around Virginia near the Pentagon. It's very, very difficult to move around there, obviously. And I think that these cities are coping as well as one could imagine, as well as one could expect, given the magnitude of the calamity.
All right, Hussein, let me...
However, things are very, very difficult in this city, and it's not easy even to make phone calls here.
Hussein, let me jump in here. We heard earlier on CNN an announcement that the Taliban was going to be holding a news conference, although they said they didn't know what it was going to be about. Have you heard anything further about
that? Yeah, I gather that some representative of the Taliban, I think the foreign minister or somebody, had issued a statement saying that the emotions of the Afghan people go out to the American public, I think he referred to the American children, and said that they share the pain and they hope the courts bring these people to justice, or something along those lines. And there have been a lot of statements from all over the world, condemnations from all the European countries, from Mexico and Canada, from the leader of the Palestinians, from many different Arab and Islamic states, even from the Taliban. And across the world, people are reacting, with shock and horror.
All right, Hussein, back to the United
States. That's to be expected.
Back to the United States, Hussein Ibish. We have seen in the last year and a half extraordinary backlash based on things going on in the Middle East against Arab Americans in this country. Could you talk about, remind people what's been going on and what might be expected in a situation like this, even though there's no information tying the Arab American community?
Yeah. I think we should give the American public the benefit of the doubt. I think that Americans, many of them, I think, have learned from the experience of Oklahoma City and the TWA Flight 800 crash. In both cases, the finger was pointed towards Arabs and Muslims and what have you. And, you know, there were hate crimes and discrimination and recriminations and all kinds of hateful statements. And, you know, it obviously wasn't justified under any circumstances, but I think, you know, people learned not to rush to conclusions. And I think that, so far as we can tell, the mainstream press so far has been reserved about speculating. And I think that there are two reasons for that. One is there's no information. But I expect that so many actions would have to have gone into such a dastardly and sophisticated, such an elaborate conspiracy that decent police work should quickly establish some sort of leads. At the same time, I think that we can expect our fellow citizens to remain calm and to wait for authorities to give them information. And I don't think we should assume that people are going to rush to judgment. And that's basically what I want to urge people to do. I mean, you know, I think if you look around this country, you would be very quickly able to see that Arab Americans, American Muslims, along with all other Americans, along with, Americans of all ethnicities, all racial backgrounds, et cetera, are all in pain. We're all in anguish. We're all suffering terribly because of this. And, I just don't see that at this point there's either... there's a particular basis for alarm.
Let me just break in here with what Amy brought up before, the press conference by the Taliban in Kabul, Afghanistan. Associated Press says that the Taliban rulers today condemned the attacks in New York and Washington and rejected suggestions that Osama bin Laden could be behind them. He said it's premature to level, the person from the Taliban said it's premature to level allegations against a person who is not in a position to carry out such attacks. It was a well-organized plan, and Osama bin Laden has no such facilities.
Well, let me say this, Dennis. I think that speculation is inevitable, and speculation is not in and of itself a terrible thing, as long as people... humanly, people are going to speculate as to what happened, why, and who was responsible. And I just don't think we can ask them not to do that.
Let me ask you about this. This is Larry Bensky. Yeah. Can I ask you this? Earlier we read a report here from Nablus where people were reportedly, Palestinian Arabs were reportedly handing out candy in the streets, celebrating and shooting guns into the air in celebration.
I haven't seen any of those reports.
Well, it's on the Associated Press. It's on the Reuters wire. Making statements, many people being interviewed saying that they are glad that... the United States could be attacked in this manner. And I'm sure this is all over the cable stations, which I haven't been monitoring.
Well, no, as a matter of fact, it isn't. And I'd be...
It will be.
I'd really be surprised if that were not greatly exaggerated. I would be very surprised indeed. I think, as I was saying, that speculation is inevitable. But speculation should be... And this was the point I was trying to make. Speculation should be based in known reality, and the known reality is simply that nobody out there fits the profile of someone who has both the malevolence against the United States institutions and the capability to pull something like this off that we've seen. And so this is something really quite new, and people are going to have to, they can speculate, and that's I guess reasonable, but I think they should recognize, as they're speculating, that this is not anything the like of which we've we've seen before.
All right. Well, Hussein, we're going to monitor this very closely. This is Dennis again. We're going to stay close to you throughout the day. We're going to watch the situation closely. Amy, you wanted to get a question?
I just wanted to get one
in,
last comment from Hussein Ibish on Utah Senator Republican Orrin Hatch. Speaking on CNN, saying clearly this is an act of war, one that requires that sort of response. Your response, Hussein Ibish of the American Arab Anti-Discrimination
Well, you know, I mean, I think it's something along those lines. This is a massive attack by criminals who may or may not be based outside the United States. I don't know. I mean, war, it's a tough thing to say, but let me put it this way. I mean, I think obviously, you're going to want to respond to the best of your capabilities, to bring the people who did this to justice. That's, I think, entirely reasonable. The only problem I have with Senator Hatch's formulation is it assumes an external power. And we did that during the Oklahoma City bombing. We assumed that this had, you know, nothing to do with anybody within the United States, and we found out to our shock and our horror that that act was perpetrated by an all-American kid from upstate New York who was trained in explosives by the military.
That's a very good point, and on that point, so, we're going to have to leave it because we've got a local news update that we have to bring you here. Thank you very much for joining us, and as Dennis said, we'll be getting back to you and others later today about possible reactions. Chris Bruni joins us now here on KPFA with the latest from the streets and suites of Northern California as many schools and government buildings are being shut down, Chris?
Yes, indeed, Larry. Thank you. We heard earlier this morning that Governor Gray Davis ordered all state buildings to close and all non-essential state employees to go home today. Authorities in Sacramento say the state's emergency council convened this morning as Davis requested heightened security at all state buildings. Employees at the state capitol were told to leave the building just before 9 a.m. today, and many state offices throughout California are closed today. Here in the Bay Area, San Francisco City Hall is closed. The school district in San Francisco has closed its schools as well, and school officials have asked parents to pick up their children from school if they can, but if not, supervision will be available at the school grounds. At San Francisco City College, all day and evening classes have been canceled today. The federal building on Golden Gate Avenue has closed down, and indeed many buildings in San Francisco's downtown financial district have closed today since the financial markets have closed due to the attacks in New York and Washington, D.C. The Bank of America building on New Montgomery Street is closed, for example. The Embarcadero Center is all closed. Reports from the scene say that the financial district is virtually a ghost town now. San Francisco Airport is closed, of course, as are all airports across the country. Airport exits and the Milbrae exit are closed as well. The Exploratorium in San Francisco is closed today. And indeed, if you're going anywhere in San Francisco, you might want to call ahead of time to find out if the event that you may be going to is still happening. Also, I should tell you the Transamerica Pyramid, the Bank of America building, the Embarcadero Center, many local businesses as well are closed and are sending their workers home today. There are no major evacuations right now in the Bay Area, but authorities are still on high alert. Bridges are open around the Bay, though the sidewalks to the Golden Gate Bridge are now closed. Traffic is said to be running normal, although there have been a few scattered accidents on Bay Area freeways. In Oakland, officials have activated the emergency system there as a precautionary move, but there are no significant crises right now. Oakland City Hall is open, and city workers will be going to work today. The Oakland Airport, though, has shut down, as, of course, are all airports. And this note to sports fans, Major League Baseball has canceled all ball games for today and tonight, and so tonight's game between the Oakland A's and the Texas Rangers will not be played at the Oakland Coliseum. So that is the situation around the Bay. Once again, San Francisco is facing the most major closures right now. Many buildings, the schools are closed. We're waiting to hear from other Bay Area cities as well as to what their plans are for today.
Thank you, Chris Bruni, as we continue with our live continuing coverage here on KPFA, as we have since early this morning, and we will continue all day today with the staff of KPFA, as well as the staff of Democracy Now! In exile in Washington, in New York City. Amy Goodman, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine. And just in terms of local reports, just to say hundreds of people are rushing to Manhattan hospitals today to give blood. And officials are calling in every surgeon and every nurse to deal with victims of the World Trade Center attacks. Ambulances are screaming down major thoroughfares across the city. Injured people are streaming into St. Vincent's, a Catholic medical center in Lower Manhattan, as army Humvees are whizzing by. The chief corporate officer of St. Vincent says we're on full alert. People are covered with concrete, soot, and other flying objects, and he keeps repeating, we are in desperate need of blood. The hospital discharged all non-emergency patients. Mayor Giuliani has said the number of casualties will probably just be horrific. Let's not forget that at the World Trade Center, with the two towers that have collapsed, the North and South Tower, 50,000 people work there every day. 150,000 people go there every single day. Critical shortage of blood in New York City.
Amy, this is Dennis Bernstein here with Larry Bensky. I want to ask you a question about Staten Island, which sits right across from the former World Trade Center. I'm wondering what impact this has had on the island. Will that island be used for emergency evacuation, for medical care? What do we know about Staten Island here?
At this point, it's hard to get any information about Staten Island. Let's not forget, in crises like these, with all transportation being shut down, it's tough to get that kind of information as we're focusing on the national picture. So I can't say. We're in Lower Manhattan, just below Canal Street, in a very densely populated area of Chinatown, and that's just very close to, but not next to, the World Trade Center.
Amy, I can tell you that the wire services earlier today were reporting that ferry boats were being used from that part. The World Trade Center, of course, is located right on the Hudson River, and that ferry boats were being used to evacuate people to New Jersey and medical facilities. But clearly, with Mayor Giuliani saying there may be thousands of people dead and thousands of people wounded and injured, this is a major catastrophe with which all New York hospitals and medical services are going to be quickly overloaded.
Amy, do we have any information in terms of people at any of these emergency rooms, anybody in any of the hospitals? Is there any information about how bad the situation is in terms of shortage of medical supplies, doctors? Are people coming in from Long Island? Has traffic been stopped coming into the city?
Well, as we said, the mayor and others, hospitals are calling for every emergency personnel to come into the city. They're calling for medical help for surgeons and nurses to deal with the victims of the World Trade Center collapses. It's quite something to be so close and yet not to be able to have any figures or an assessment exactly of what's happening. But I was just listening to Marina Hossa on CNN, who comes from WBAI originally, and she was there. She said within 45 minutes there were 100 people who had come into St. Vincent's, a number of them critical, many of them hit by flying debris. And, of course, the reports earlier of untold number of people, but people who are jumping from the top stories of these 110-story towers.
And, of course, the people who were trying to rescue them at the time, the firefighters and the police and everything, who came to the scene as fast as they could, many of them may have lost their lives as well when these buildings ultimately collapsed. Robert Knight, your reporter, has been reporting all morning that these planes that crashed into the World Trade Center were transcontinental planes that would have been full of jet fuel as they crashed right near the beginning of their runs across the country, and that may well have been responsible for the many explosions afterward. But anybody who was trying to rescue anybody in those buildings as they collapsed could very well have been wounded or killed as well. It's a horrific tragedy. We've never seen the likes of it here in the United States, certainly not since Pearl Harbor has anything like this happened. The Washington situation, Amy, you and I having worked there for so many years, I'm not surprised that they're very slow to report details, for example, of that crash of an airliner, we don't know what airliner, near Camp David. We heard that announced earlier, and now it's been at least an hour and a half since any details have come about that.
Amy?
Yes, Robert.
Dennis was asking a question about transportation. Bridges and tunnels into New York City and in particular Manhattan have been shut down. We do know that the Brooklyn Bridge and at least the 59th Street Bridge leading to Queens are open for pedestrian egress. As I look across Manhattan at the moment, there is a tremendously small amount of traffic compared to what there is on a normal day. There is nothing in the sky. Not even traffic helicopters are visible, or even police helicopters, at least from the panorama that I am able to see. Another eeriness is that on the East River, which is usually dotted with boats and commuter ferries, there is the occasional commuter ferry that goes by, but for the most part, the East River is on complete shutdown. It's as if New York City is under a lockdown, quite understandably, with this emergency, as far as transportation goes. There is a constant flow of ambulance traffic to the Bellevue Medical Center area that includes a number of hospitals. And the scene outside at the emergency admission room is one of a lot of people. A lot of people, a crowd gathers whenever an ambulance comes by, and clearly the system is overloaded.
In a catastrophe like this, of course, there's no planning for it. There's no way to anticipate it. There's no way to deal with it. One thing we would caution people to remember is that if this has been caused entirely, as it now seems, by hijacked airplanes, there won't be very many more, if any, of those, because all air traffic has been grounded and all planes have been ordered to land. Now, there was a rather mysterious dispatch a little while ago from Cleveland where the mayor said that he or others had monitored a plane that was heading towards Toledo with people screaming on board. That may have been the one that crashed near Pittsburgh. We don't know. We don't know what plane that was, or they haven't fully identified all the airplanes and where they were heading, but they have for several hours now grounded all aircraft, nothing taking off, and anything that was in the air is supposed to land as soon as possible.
I think there are roughly something like 50 to 70 planes that are in the sky right now that were just en route. And also, as we speak, a Taliban spokesperson is speaking in Kabul, Afghanistan, denouncing the attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C., First Lady Laura Bush, who was to make her policy debut before a Senate committee, instead today stepped grim-faced to news cameras and tried to soothe a horrified nation. She was whisked by motorcade from Capitol Hill to an unidentified secure location away from the White House, which was evacuated amidst the chaos of the what do appear to be attacks in both New York and Pentagon. She said parents need to reassure their children everywhere in our country that they're safe. That's the latest news that we have from Kabul and Washington, D.C.
From Gaza, Amy, comes word that the head of Hamas has denied that Hamas had any connection with the attacks on the World Trade Center and the Pentagon. He says, we and Hamas, our battle is on Palestinian land. We are not ready to move our battle out of the occupied Palestinian territories. He said U.S. policies against the weaker peoples of the world were to blame for the aircraft attacks on two major U.S. cities. And one thing that hasn't been noted is that somebody, one of the people convicted of acts associated with Osama bin Laden was supposed to be sentenced tomorrow, I believe, in New York in a courthouse not far from the World Trade Center. And there's also the connection that we've been mentioning for several hours now that today is the anniversary of the 1978 signing of the Camp David Accords among Jimmy Carter, Anwar Sadat, and Menachem Begin. Who knows if that has anything to do with anything, but it's out there, so we might as well mention it.
This brings us to the end of this hour, though we're going to be continuing, I think, together back and forth throughout the day. Larry Bensky and Dennis Bernstein in the studios at KPFA in Berkeley. We is Miranda Kennedy and Brad Simpson. Our producers, Anthony Sloan, who is our engineer and also commentator throughout the morning, has been with us as we deal with this unfolding disaster that is taking place in New York. again, as I think about the World Trade Center, Anthony was just saying he has a friend who works there, and she went for a dental appointment this morning, so wasn't in the building. Downstairs in the firehouse where we are at Downtown Community Television, a man's wife worked on the 101st floor. These are very real tragedies, and untold numbers of times they will be multiplied today as we learn who was there. Again, there are four flights, three of them, two American Airlines, two United Airlines. Three we know have gone down, have crashed. One, United Airlines is saying has crashed, but have not said where it has crashed. And that's the latest news we have. One of the plane crashes did occur in the Pentagon. Large explosion there. All federal buildings evacuated, as well as the United Nations in New York.
Thank you, Amy Goodman. We will, as you
that
say...
That does it for today's broadcast. U.S. officials are saying there was no credible warning of a massive terrorist attack, and there's no credible intelligence on who is responsible for what has taken place today. That does it for our joint national broadcast that we have been doing for this hour, but I don't think things will change much through the day. Stations can join us as they will. We'll be here throughout the day. I understand Noah Hanrahan is joining in, and we'll go back and forth from the coast to bring you the latest information. First time in history, all air traffic has been stopped in this country. Only the planes that were in mid-flight are still in the air. The international flights that were coming into Washington and New York City have been diverted to Canada. LAX, Los Angeles Airport closed as well. And we will continue this broadcast as long as need be today, so people can stay tuned with us, listening at WBIX.org online, as well as to KPFA and community stations around the country. Thank you very much for listening as we continue on this tragic day.